you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode I am joined by...
Mike Booth Ninja Powers.
Yes, 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 and we're going to be talking about something that kind of came out, I think it was yesterday?
Today.
It was yesterday, today? But it was updated today. Okay. Having to do with lackluster sales in toys for fall 2017 as people are getting that movie tie-in fatigue, you know, with Star Wars and everything else that's come out.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting because we always hear about, you know, our fans and friends and stuff like that talking about how the amount of superhero movies or Star Wars movies, things like that, that are being pumped out by these studios is getting overwhelming and leading to, like, I guess, what is it called, like superhero fatigue?
I think I just call it franchise fatigue at this point.
Well, that's true, because I mean it's not just Star Wars and
superheroes
and superheroes, but you know it's I found out earlier this week that there's going to be 5 Fantastic Beast movies. Like, how do you? It's just franchise fatigue in general, right? And I've really only ever seen it brought up in, like, you know, oh, a movie, like a sequel to a movie has like a poor box office in the first one, or you usually hear about it in the box office results for a movie in said franchise.
Do you remember back in the day when franchises consisted of if you hit a trilogy you were doing great and then they stopped?
Yeah, like I brought that up like in an argument that I had. A long-winded argument. I think I posted it on Facebook and then I ended up deleting it, but it went back to the whole, like, you were it was the nerd rage that came out around The Last Jedi, right? And I brought it up as, like, you know, you were lucky at all to get 3 movies, let alone a second one, you know? Like, now we're in this age where people get mad because something isn't the way that they want it, and it's like they need to fix it and they expect it to be fixed in the next movie, you know, like, or addressed in some way. Like, they fans are now expecting things to come in 3s or 6 or what is that, six
something
sequel?
Like that.
Yeah, someone will say it somewhere, but yeah, it's like I very much remember, like, going and seeing, like, you know, the first X-Men movie and being like, man, I want more than that. And then you're like biting your nails, like, for the next few weeks until you read online that, you know, Fox has, it's made enough money for Fox to okay a sequel. It, like, I think for me personally, I remember, like, the way they announce movies now, it kind of, it ruins, like, the way that movies are announced now, they're like spoilers in and of themselves.
Yeah, especially when you hear that, oh, Captain America's been on the scene for Avengers 4 and 5, and you're like, oh, so he doesn't die.
Well, I think the last time, it might be the first time that I was ever like, I think the first time an announcement like that ever ruined something for me was the first Avengers. Because it was like the week before Avengers was set to be released, they announced Iron Man 3.
And so you're like, oh, that scene at the end is just, it's worthless.
It didn't land for me at all because they've already announced Iron Man 3.
Which they should have done like weeks after.
You know, like give it like a second. And so, like, you're hearing about all these movies, all these single character movies, and it's like they're tipping their hand to whether or not these people survive, like, the next 2 Avengers movies. And it doesn't the same goes for Star Wars, right? You hear, you know, they're shooting episode 8 and they wrap and you hear about I mean, I guess they haven't really started filming episode 9, but you kind of heard there was some stuff involving episode 9 about, like, the cast list and whatnot. And it's like, well, great. Now you know, like, who survives, but maybe you don't know in which way they survive, I guess.
So, like, technically, even if Mark Hamill's listed, he may, you know, he's obviously like a force ghost or some kind of a force entity at that point. He's not.
Right, which we know now, but you don't know that, like, you know, going for, like, before you see the result, you know, like, and yeah, like Captain America, that could be like a flashback sequence or something like that. Like, all these things have, like, there's stipulations or things that can happen with them, but just the sheer amount of the sheer announcement of like the next movie is like a spoiler in and of itself. And I've felt that way for a long time, you know, which is why it's just like, you know, I don't want to know any more about these movies, like other than the title, so that I know when I need to go see it. But anyways, that, so we're talking about franchise fatigue as far as going to the movies, but now it appears that
it's hitting the toy industry now. So like Hasbro, Mattel, they're all getting hit hard because people are not, you know, there's warning signs going off that people have just kind of had enough of, you know, these multitudes of different figures being shoved down their throat.
Yeah, well, it looks like, according to this article, which was on Bloomberg, I mean, at least the one that I found, it was like, it also seems like oversaturation in general, like you don't know which toys to buy. Like you're splitting your money between, you know, like a Star Wars or a Cars or like Spider-Man.
And I think that's, know, just like, because the market is so flooded.
Yeah.
With I mean, think about it, you know, 20 years ago, we had, you know, a select, you know, maybe one or two big movies a month that were like, you know, really big. And then the rest of them were kind of just, you know, mediocre.
They weren't toy vehicles.
No, they weren't toy vehicles. And everything that comes out now is a toy vehicle. And so you get five or six movies in a, you know, two to three month span, and they're all toy movies. And then they've got every size figure known to man, you know, 12 inch, you know, the 6 inch, the 4 inch, the, you know, and then they've got variations of the same figures, and it's just, it's gotten too confusing for parents in general, trying to figure out which blasted figure that their kid wants. So, I mean, I can definitely see the various sides of it.
Yeah, I feel kind of like, I just got done watching the documentary on Netflix about the toys that made us. And obviously the big one in there, given, you know, that The Last Jedi just came out, was like their coverage of the Star Wars toys. You know, they talk about how only one, you know, one specific retailer, not retailer, manufacturer had the Star Wars license. But like, that's not the way it is anymore, right? Like, so it's like Lego has a Star Wars toy line.
Hasbro and, you know, has the majority of it,
right? But like, so there's not, it's not just one company that can reap the reward for like selling these toys. Like, they have to, not only do they have to make a toy to tie in, they have to make a better toy than like, you know, the next toy manufacturer that has the same license, you know. And not, and so you've got multiple manufacturers competing with the same license to sell toys, but then, you know, you've got other manufacturers that are also competing with trying to sell like Transformers and stuff like that. Like, it's just, it was very interesting to see this like come back around, because you had like, it's like, what is it, you have the toys that make the cartoon to sell more toys, and then you've got like, and then there's a period where the, you know, they aren't around anymore, and then you've got the toys, then you've got the movies that come out based off of the toys. And now the, you know, the toy lines are back, but now all of it is suffering because none of them are going away.
Yeah, it's, you're not creating that demand because it's constantly in your face, instead of it's like, oh, the toy well dried up, you're going to have to wait until the next film.
Do you also think that it becomes more, when you release stuff like this rapidly, do you think it becomes more, I think the first time I ever heard about this or kind of picked up on it was it going from like Transformers to Transformers 2, where it was like, we just need to change this character a little bit so we can release a new toy.
Yeah, that was what Transformers was notorious for. And
yeah, so I feel like that's what...
But that's a Hasbro's shtick, because they do that even with Star Wars figures. Like, they'll release them with, like, a new box, or, you know, yeah, they'll add one little extra piece of plastic in the box to say that it's something new.
Yeah, but when you release, like, stuff, like, at least with Transformers, there's, like, 3 years between movies, right? 2 or 3 years between movies.
But they also have 3 to 4 different types of toy lines going at a time for it.
But now, just take a look at Star Wars, right, where you've got 1 to 2 movies of Star Wars, like...
Every year
now from, like, starting with, like, 2015, right? So how fast can you recycle a toy or a model before someone realizes what's going on, right? Like,
well, and that's kind of happened with some of the Transformer people too, though, because I know a lot of people that, like, Hasbro would just repaint the figure and resell it as a new character, and people were like, okay, like, I'm a completionist, but, like, I have to draw the line at you know, this, and this, you know, and would have to have cutoffs because it was so much of the same stuff.
Right, which is what I'm saying, but it's like, it's all jammed up now, so like more people can see what is actually going on with the toys, right? Like, it's like, how fast can you recycle? Like, before it was like Transformers, and you had to wait like 2 or 3 years between movies, but now you've got stuff like the Star Wars stuff where they try to release new toys to go along with every movie, and there's a movie every year. Or pretty soon here, it'll probably be every 6 months. So, like, you know, like, it's probably pretty easy for a kid to go, this character looks like this character, when you're still playing with that same character you bought 6 months ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's like, not going to be that big of a change to where it warrants another figure of it.
Right. So it's just...
It's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader. They keep reselling those, even though they haven't been in the films in forever. And the droids, it's basically the same toys over and over, just with a slight paint redeco or something. And,
right, that was the arm. That was C-3PO's arm in Force Awakens, right?
Yeah, that had been the only reason they changed the color of the arm in that movie.
That's what I hear, like, when I read, like, takedowns of The Force Awakens. Like, the only reason for C-3PO to have a red arm was to sell more figures.
And then they had a comic tie-in to make it sound like it had a reason for being there.
Well, you got to rebuild the extended universe that you just trashed, so...
Well, now that Disney owns Marvel, which does comics, and owns Star Wars, Marvel's got the rights back for the Star Wars comics, so all the stuff by Dark Horse is, like, dead.
Yep.
So, it's... And I think this is the same problem of why comics aren't as big as they used to be, and why, you know, a lot of the merchandising isn't as, like, yes, it still banks, but it doesn't bank like it used to.
Well, I mean, the issue with comics was, you know, you used to only print, like, a run.
And now they do, like, 4 or 5 runs.
Right, because it's like they can track how popular a comic is pretty quickly. So it's like, oh, well, we'll just do another printing of this so more people can buy it. Like, they're able to flood the market to kill the collector's value. Like, comics being big, I don't know if that had anything really to do with, like, I feel, unless you're talking about something else. To me, comics being big had more to do with the collector's side of it than the actual, like, comics being, like, a big thing.
Yeah, which that made sense to do it. I feel like that they've tried to, the toy industry has tried to copy that model. Because if you notice, like, all the 70s and 80s stuff, and to some extent some of the early 90s stuff was actually worth something. And then you go, like, early to mid 90s, and they started just kind of mass producing it like crazy. And then you get into today where there's just so much of it that none of it has any value.
Right, I mean, into a more a little closer to home for myself would be like the SNES Classic and the SNES Classic, right? Like, the NES Classic, like, you couldn't find except for, like, on eBay or Amazon for, like, $400, right? Because Nintendo couldn't make them fast enough for whatever reason. They promised that that wouldn't be the case with the SNES Classic, and now I have two of them. So I don't, but I've stopped looking, so I don't know if they've kept their word on that. But I also feel like the hype around the SNES Classic fell off a lot faster than the NES Classic. But it's kind of like the same, it's the same idea, right? You, there weren't a lot of them, so people, the aftermarket, the collector's market for it, that's where all the value was. But and it's kind of like you see that around video game console launches too, like with the Switch. Like you, the Switch release, and everyone nabbed up as many as there were available, and they put them on like eBay and stuff for like double the price. It's the scalping, right? But just this past holiday, every Best Buy I went into this past holiday was building pyramid displays out of Switches that they had like an excess to sell. Like, and then you see like headlines recently about how the Switch is the fastest selling console, and that it, you know, it sold this, you know, it out, so it sold this much in this month. And it's like, well, yeah, when you flood the market and everyone can get one and there isn't like scarcity of it, yes, you're going to sell, you know. But it's interesting. And I don't know, the number, there's some numbers in here, but I don't really like just reading off numbers. But basically, it's just like, you know, Cars 3 didn't sell as well as was expected, and same thing goes for like the last two Star Wars movies, and they don't expect this year to be any better, given that there's another Star Wars movie, a Harry Potter movie, and a new Jurassic Park. You know, like, it's just, excuse me, it'll be interesting to see how they try to fix this. So
it's going to be a fun chore for them to take on, to say the least. And it's, I feel like if they don't get a handle on it sooner than later, and it's to do with the movie industry too, but it's, I feel like they're going to figure out that there's going to come a point certain franchises should not have toys, or the abundance that they do have. I mean, looking at the previous, you know, since, well, for instance, the Star Trek figures, since they stopped with Star Trek Voyager, Playmates used to do the toys back then. And granted, they weren't that great a detail until they got to the, like, the Star Trek Nemesis figures or First Contact figures, and then they started getting more detailed. But they were also taller. But when they got to that point, they kind of stopped making toys, and then other people started picking up the rights to the Star Trek toys, and then Playmates kind of got it back when the Abramsverse came out. And the toys went over like a ton of bricks. Like, there was no marketing for them. They were like, I didn't even know they were selling them until I ran across them in the store. And then they weren't all that spectacular in the first place, so I didn't want any of them because they didn't have the majority of the things that I would have wanted anyway.
I always thought Star Trek toys were weird. Like, when I think action figure, I don't think Captain Picard. You know, like, I
see, I used to have a lot of the figures, but to me, the majority of the figures I wanted were the original series.
Well, I get wanting to collect them. I just don't get, I don't get how, like, they end up being, like, a kid's plaything. You know, like, I had a friend. I had some of them.
I had them all.
I had a friend that had like a lot of them. He had like and he also had like the shuttle.
I had all those too. All the ships. I had the bridges, the transporters, the.
See, I don't get like how that's. Think looking back on it, hindsight here, like those figures, they just don't. I don't see what I saw in them as a kid, I guess. Like, but at the same time, I did really get into the Micro Machines.
Those I loved.
The little ships. Yeah, I collected all of those, and I collected all of those for Star Wars as well. But like, I mean, that's a completely different thing. Well, but
the figures I like to, because when I had them, I used to play all the different scenarios, and you know, I had the majority of everything, and it was fun to play, but for me, a lot of it was the ships. And I had the Micro Machine stuff, and actually to this day I still have one of my Micro Machine ones left, because wasn't Micro Machines by Hot Wheels, or at the time were they just Micro Machines?
It's Galoob. They were Galoob.
Okay, I think Hot Wheels does that kind of stuff now. But anyways, they had come out with, like, they would come out with those 3 packs of the different ships.
Yep.
And then they came out with this 30 pack at one point, and yep. The only reason I got the 30 pack was because they came with the Enterprise A, and it had all the other ships I already had, and I wanted it for one ship, and so I got it for my birthday 1 year for that one ship. The funny thing about it is I still have that one ship. And then a few years ago when the Abrams movie came out, I got the Hot Wheels, I don't know, it was like the $10 box thing, but the Hot Wheels Enterprise A starship with battle damage from the Star Trek VI, and I have that to this day sitting on my desk. It's a nice small enough model that in full detail that it doesn't take up a lot of space, and I get it without having to get the giant model that I used to have of it. But yeah, I mean, to me, I love the ships more than the characters in Star Trek. And I like the when they had the communicators and that kind of stuff. Like, I like the badges and the,
okay, that's different. Like getting the tricorder and the badges and like putting yourself in the role,
which I did, like, do when I got older.
Right. But that's more that to me, that's a completely different level of, you know, like, because all the figures are like, you've either got a red shirt or a blue shirt or a gold shirt. Like, they
all serve a different role based on their color of their shirt.
Right, but they're not, I'm just talking about from like a figure design, right? They're not
very unique.
Yeah, they're not unique. They're not cool. But like, they're getting the tricorder. No, don't get me wrong. I love the tricorder. I made a tricorder out of wood. Like, my dad helped me like craft one.
I still have my communicator.
Which was fun. And then I loved the ships. So, you know, I get playing with the ships and stuff like that, but just like the figures, you know, like I never got that whole thing, you know, like.
That's so. The main reason I play Star Trek Online is because I can customize and I can get the ships and fly them and use them in space battle. And I can design my own Starfleet uniform with the variations of the 50 years of the franchise. So that's the main reason why I play the game, because I get to insert myself in the scenario without having to really buy anything. So, but yeah, what do the listeners think on this? What do you think that the franchises are just kind of hitting that fatigue and we need to see like a slowdown of it, or it just, you know, it's kind of weird that we're kind of getting to that point now that not only are we getting film fatigue and franchise fatigue, but we're also now starting to see toy fatigue.
Yep. Let us know what some of your favorite toys are too.
Yes. And you can use the hashtag
Altered toys.
Altered toys. Yeah, I was going to say something fatigue, and I'm like, eh.
Altered fatigue?
That just sounds weird. Yeah, we'll do altered toys, because that just sounds cool. So let us know, and get all of us on the social media. You can get a hold of me on Twitter, @SCP21, and yourself, sir?
I am @BoothNinja81.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.